Come on, man. It's a joke thing. It's a joke thing.
So you see yourself in the next 5-10 years from now?
Jeez. I can never say that, you know. I don't like to tempt my fate, you know what I'm saying?
But assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Bashir Blenman. I was also known as B Double, but that's not a name I choose to go by ever again. My mother is from South Africa and my dad is from Trinidad, and I was raised in between Tottenham and South London, Battersea. But I was born in Hammersmith Hospital. Quite a good upbringing. Very good father figure in my life. Very good mother as well. She, like I said, she very intelligent, had a master's degree in biochemistry and whatnot. And but because of, she had a problem with dealing and taking drugs, I was raised by my father and my stepmother. So I spent most of my time back and forth, through Ealing, Tottenham, and Battersea, South London. Like I said, I was very intelligent in school. Was a bit above my standard, but probably didn't take it as serious as I should have. But like I said, primary school wasn't that much of a problem. Just the usual boys will be boys situation. Very, very athletic. Did a lot of acting. Got into a theatre company from a young age. Did a lot of big theatre productions. Got into television work as well later on in the years. Due to when you get to a certain age and you become aware of your situation and you're aware of your surroundings and you have to start dealing with the outside world a bit more, then things started to escalate. So like I say, from the age of maybe 7-8, started little petty robberies and things like that, and nothing too major, but that's where things started to kind of escalate on that side, because I was hanging around with a lot of people older than me. But like I said, I was brought up very well. I always had manners, always had certain values. But at the same time, when you grow up in an area where, you know, you don't have the best examples, you kind of fall into the wrong situations. But I was living a double life as well at the same time, because like I say, I might have been keeping up with certain things, but I was very active in my theatre, my karate. I was the British champion 2 years in a row at one point, and I did a lot of football as well. So I was very active in other activities, and I was always very God conscious, but I was born Christian. Came to secondary school. Really started to pursue music, but singing. I used to enjoy singing at that age, because obviously due to fit, and at that age you're not really the best rapper. You can't be. There's not a lot you can talk about when you're that age. So singing was my thing. I really enjoyed it. Was gonna get into it, but that's where things started to go really downhill, because like I said, when you get to that age and you're really out in the outside world now, and then you have to start dealing with the jealousy. You have to start dealing with a lot of, like, the hardcore crime starts to kick in by the time you hit secondary school. So it's like I was torn between like a positive lifestyle, so to say, in Jahiliya, there is a so-called positive lifestyle, doing your music and doing other things, and then I was torn between getting involved in serious crime. So like I said, at the time I was hanging with a lot of people that was older than me, very, very serious criminals, and I kind of went more towards that side of things. But like I said, I was still until maybe up to the age of 14, I was really living a double life. I was still doing acting, I was doing television work, I was doing my karate. Like I said, by the time I hit 14, I was British champion 2 years in a row. I already done 3 different styles of martial arts. So I was doing well in the other side of my life, but you can't live a double life, you can't serve 2 masters. So it didn't really go the right way. School, like I say, dealing with a lot of jealousy, a lot of problems in school. It's due to even me going to a school in a different area to mine, where we had a lot of conflicting problems. I went to school in Edmonton, and Tottenham and Edmonton got to a stage where they didn't really get along. So I got caught up in the middle of that as well. So school really kind of, by the end of school, it kind of all went downhill, to be honest. And I just started to really, you know what I mean, get really heavily involved in crime. by the time I left school, moved straight away to Birmingham at the age of 16. With a friend, a very close friend of mine, that is a good Muslim now as well, alhamdulillah. But that's where things really started to kick off. But like I say, just before we left there, it's like a lot of things started to really take its toll on my life. I think the main problem I had is because I was kind of aware of my situation to a degree, but when I got to a certain age, obviously the will of Allah, but my mum kind of made some mistakes by telling me things I didn't really need to know, making me a lot more aware of her situation. And just down to the fact that she might have had a master's degree in biochemistry, and she might have been like she was a genius, but she was an international drug dealer, so it didn't really make sense me trying to really pursue, you know, the academic road, because I just looked at it like it doesn't matter what you kind of do, what qualification you get. It's like the bottom line is you need to have money. That's the only thing that really matters. So however I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna get it. And she didn't really, like I said, I don't think she intentionally meant to hinder my future, so to say, but she condoned a lot of things that my dad did not condone. My dad was very strict with me. He did not entertain any type of bad behavior or any type of illegal activities, even though maybe he might have been involved in it in his younger years or whatnot. But he was a very, very good father to me. He really put his foot down and really didn't entertain any of it. But my mum wasn't very supportive to what my dad was trying to do. Maybe she had her reasons, but that's what happened. So like I say, by the time I got to that age and I found out certain things I didn't need to know, it put me in a bad situation, because it's like you don't have no one to talk to. You can't, at that age, you can't tell no one that your mum's on drugs. It will not go down well. People will say the wrong things. You'll get into a bad situation. So it's like I was angry for a lot of years, many, many years. I was very angry to do with my situation. And like I say, there's a lot of stuff I don't want to get into as well. But like I say, through the years, always very God conscious, but at the same time, it's like I was living a very bad lifestyle. 17, went to prison, I remand for firearms, but I didn't have to do that. Obviously, I won the case, so I was let off, but it's like then things just really went downhill from there. When I came out, that's where I just really got really heavily involved in crime. There's not a lot I want to get into. Like I say, I'm not here to promote that lifestyle, because there's nothing to promote about it. There's nothing to be proud of. But if it's going to help the youth to realise that there's no benefit in a lifestyle, then hopefully the people can take that from the story. But like I say, from everything, I don't want to get into it, but from everything, from armed robberies to drugs to gun, everything you can kind of name, I was involved in. And but like I said, at the same time, very God conscious to a degree that then to a lot of people around me would not really have comprehended, because of the way I was not a very nice person. But the biggest turning point in my life was when my best friend died, because like I said, I was dealing with death from a young age, with like a few people from my area that died from a young age. But I couldn't say they were my best friends or whatnot, the people that I was around, they died and whatnot. But when my actual best friend that I was around every day, he was like my brother, he died, it really, I went into like severe depression. It really shook me up a lot. And I went for, like I say, it just went from bad to worse, to be honest. It just went into overdrive. But maybe say a year down the line, maybe even less than that, when I kind of started to get over the situation a bit, I started to really look into things like death and to look into, really start to study spirituality, because I was just very, you know, I was really aware that I could go now as well. And it was one of the saddest things that kind of hit me as well, to think that he was such a nice guy, a really nice guy. I can really vouch him on that. But because of the way he lived his life, the same way I was living my life, where we didn't care about people, we'd rob our own friends, we'd rob everyone, we didn't care, we just lived a, you know what I mean, we wasn't, unless he was very close to us, anyone could be a victim. Very few people was at his funeral. His funeral was very, very empty. And like I say, this was because the bottom line is a lot of people probably was happy that he was dead. A lot of people wasn't happy, but a lot of people were probably happy that he was gone, because he was a problem. And I started to look at myself and think that I wouldn't want a lot of people at my funeral that don't need to be there, but I wouldn't want to be this type of person where people, this is what you remember me for. For being a tyrant, so to say. So started to really try to you know, take necessary steps to kind of slow down a bit more. I started to really start to study spirituality, start to study religions, got into a lot of rat knowledge, Egyptology, a lot of ancient, like Sumerian, all the ancient religions. Never really touched on Islam though. I understood bits and pieces of it, but it's for a very valid reason, I didn't touch into Islam yet. So me studying all these other religions, I really got to a point where life started to make a bit more sense to me, and I realised that I couldn't really live the way I was living. I had to make a change. But like I said, I was still involved in certain things. By I don't know, funny coincidence, my old agent contacted me, and he got me two jobs on television again. And this was when I was maybe 18, and got me two jobs on television again. I did one for Judge John Deed, and then I did another one on The Bill. But when I did Judge John Deed, I met a Christian brother. Very nice brother, despite whatever how obviously we know that what they're upon is not really the right way to live your life, but he was a very nice brother, really. And like I said, me coming from Christianity, it's like when you kind of want to go back to God, the first thing you kind of do is go back to what you know. So it's like it was easy for me to kind of get sucked into that. So like I say, we kind of got talking and got very close, and then we started to get into the Christianity on a deeper level. Yeah, but like I say, it kind of after that whole Christianity episode, kind of went back to the other people I was around and whatnot, and started to started to study more dark arts. Yeah, very dark arts, and like I say, metaphysics and just magic, to be honest, straight up and down magic, you know what I'm saying, voodoo, all that type of stuff. Started to study all these things, and like I say, these are things that I have to make very clear, like even if a lot of people that might be looking at this might even be involved in these things and whatnot, and or they might be thinking of getting involved in these things, but I'm telling you, even at that stage of weight where the people I was around had, like I say, were leaving their body, doing certain things and all these type of like, a lot of crazy things, and like I say, thinking that, like I said, they had a lot of power, and even myself, this is not power. This is shirk. It's nothing. It's shaitan, simple and plain. Like I say, we know all power comes from Allah, and even these things, like I say, these things are maybe here to teach you or to finish you. It's as simple as that. Allah might put these things in your pathway to teach you that this is not the right way to be. And even like I say, because sometimes it's the same with maybe having a lot of money in Jahiliya, and then maybe, you know what I mean, you can make that choice to kind of say, okay, I've had all the money, I've had all these things, I've had the so-called like power in the street or in the world or whatnot, like in money wise, and kind of but you know that it's not really the best way to live your life, so you give up for the sake of Allah. It's the same with these things as well, with magic. These are things that Allah could put in your place, put in your way, to make you think that, you know what I mean, this is something that is beneficial to you, and it's something that is gonna get you somewhere, but it's not gonna get you nowhere. The only place it's gonna take you is Jahannam. So anyone that's seeing this, and like I say, that's involved in it, or was involved in it, or is thinking of getting involved in it, believe me, there's no power in what you're doing. You could lift up yourself, you can fly, you could do whatever you think you're doing, you could kill someone with little veves or these things, like these words, or there's a lot of things you can do to people. You can really ruin people's lives, you can help people's lives, you can gain a lot of money. There's a lot of ways that you can exercise these powers, you know what I'm saying, from Kabbalah to voodoo to straight Luciferianism. There's many ways, and we see it today. A lot of these people that are rich and that run the world deal with these things, believe it. And it's not because they're stupid people, it's because they've got too much intelligence with no understanding. The same how we were very intelligent youths, but we had no understanding. We still believed in God, but we thought that we could still exercise all these other things as well, because like people just didn't do it because maybe they were scared or whatnot. Bottom line is shirk. It's going to lead to Jahannam. Don't have nothing to do with it. Simple as that. But like I said, while all this was going on, all this studying, like this, you know what I mean, this crazy studying was going on, I was, like I said, this is the point when music was getting a lot more serious now. Like I say, planning big projects and whatnot. But just before the music really started to kick off and I really started to take it serious now, I got very close with a Muslim brother and his family. One of my cousins came out of prison that was Muslim as well. So it's like, for me to come to Islam was quite easy, because I felt like I always was Muslim anyway. I always believed in one God, I always believed in all the prophets. But like I said, because I had maybe too much information without enough understanding, it went down the wrong road. Cut the long story short, I was practicing Islam for quite a while before I even took my Shahada, but then I took my Shahada. What the biggest problem I came across was that my examples of Islam wasn't the best examples, and like I said, a lot of things kind of came into my a lot of things were in my way when I took my shahada. I wanted to kind of practice to the best of my knowledge, but a lot of things was in my way. And what made it worse, that I was around a lot of Muslims that was more like the intention, almost like, oh, it's about my intention, it's not about my actions. And we, like I say, things went right down the wrong road after that, because it's common sense to tell you that when you come to the deen, the shaitan is onto you 10 times more now. So this is where things really got a bit sticky now. Music got a lot more serious now. I started to put out a lot of projects, put out a Mortal Gods project, the later on down the line, a lot of compilation CDs come out. I hosted one called Married to the Game. I put out an official CD called Shot of Music that was in HMV, and I put out, like I say, per se, one of the most controversial DVDs that ever come out in London, Street Selected. I produced that as well. Like I say, in between all that time, a lot of criminal activity, heavy criminal activity, a lot of shootings, a lot of stab, a lot of everything, a lot of problems was going on. But at the same time, within that time, the criminal activity started to go down a bit more, the more serious I got into the music. And it made it worse, like I said, when I took my trip to Miami, I saw the response of what I had, and you know what I mean, like a lot of people was interested in me. So I started to take it a lot more serious. But at the same time, like I said, I was Muslim the whole time my career really lifted off. Like I said, I had the SWAT movement going on with Blade and other artists. I was linked to, like, basically people all over England. Like I said, my Birmingham people, South London, all over the place. I was linked up with a lot of people. But I was a solo artist, and I was doing my own thing. But to be honest, like I said, if I continued it, it would have gone through the roof, like a lot of people know. But at the same time, it was not meant to happen. So it's another lesson as well to a lot of people that's listening as well, is that when you do come to the deen, or you're a Muslim already, the shaitan is onto you 10 times more. These are the times when you really have to guard yourself, and you have to be very careful, because this is going to be the worst time in your life when it comes to the shaitan. The shaitan does not want you to live a life like that and to come to the deen and think you're just going to go to Jannah and if it's going to be alright for you. That's not going to happen. He's going to get onto you 10 times more. So that's why I think a lot of things were in my way, and maybe, like I say, that the haram probably went through the roof more than ever, to be honest, on an encompassing scale. I might have been doing a lot of things before, but from when I took my shahada, like every type of thing kind of came into my way, and I took part in a lot of things that I don't really want to get into. If you know about it, you know. If you don't, you don't. But like I said, I started to get more knowledge during that Ramadan. Very, very beneficial Ramadan for me. Started to really, you know, research into the Jahannam, to Jannah, to the punishment of the grave. And that was it, to be honest. It wasn't a long story. It wasn't nothing, you know what I mean? That was basically it for me. After that, like I say, after I left the woman I was with for that time, for the Ramadan and whatnot, I started to gain more knowledge. When I understood these things in a deeper way, that was it for me. Everything, the music, all that, I just realised that there's no benefits. There's no point in me ever really entertaining it for much longer, because I can drop at any time, and it's a long road to nowhere, to be honest. So after gaining that knowledge, that was it.
Alhamdulillah, that lifestyle is totally behind me. And inshallah to Allah, it will never be a part of my life again. And to anyone I ever harmed, or I offended, or anything wrong, I've done anything wrong to you in the past, please forgive me. I've made tawbah sincerely. And inshallah, make dua for me that I stay firm on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, inshallah. To anyone, like I say, that is involved in music, or they're supporting music, or they're having a problem with music, stay far away from it. There's no benefit at all. It's going to lead you down a long road of trouble and destruction. So try and stay far away from it. If you see Muslims rapping, don't support them. Don't make this thing glamorous. Don't make it all right. You know what I mean? Don't play a part in it, because, like I said, that's what kind of made my situation a lot harder. I made it a lot easier at the same time to do the wrong thing. So stay away from these things, and may Allah guide you. Make dua. I'll make dua for you. Make dua for me, inshallah. We all stay away from these evils. And like I said, I know this lifestyle seems very glamorous. It's very tempting, but there's no benefit in it. That's the end of the line. And only success we can have is to worship Allah and Allah alone, and to follow the Deen Islam to the best of our ability. So all the brothers and sisters out there, please, like I say, try your hardest, because there's a lot of sweetness in the Iman, like we know. In Iman there's a sweetness that we can't get in anything else. So like I say, I intend to do a lot more dawah projects in the future. And I intend to touch on a lot more aspects of my life and things that I have to do with me as well. So shout out to Roadside Islam. They're doing a lot of good work. Support them, please. They're doing a lot of good things, more than you know. So support them, make dua for them. If you can even donate anything you can do to help that project, do it, because he's doing a lot that you don't know. So like I say, any type of misconceptions you have about that as well, like I say, don't curse anything till you know the real 100% behind it, like I say. But like I said, to everyone out there, Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please make dua for me, make dua for the brothers and sisters around the world, especially the ones going through hardships in the other foreign lands, our brothers and sisters there as well. And inshallah, I'll see you in Jannah, inshallah. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.